This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
They're longtime friends.
Let me tell you something real quick about Dibs that I'm sure not everybody knows.
And first-time partners.
Hang in there, big guy. There'll be brighter days ahead.
Now these two homegrown Bay Area boys finally come together to take over sports talk.
Get the hell off of my doorstep.
Major League Baseball, you stink.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, you know me. I didn't look at this thing. Like, by the way, can I now share with you what my sports, what's bugging me is?
Please.
Draft grades. Shut up, everybody, all of you. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear C-. It's the stupidest thing in the history of sports content. Mel Kiper, you got great hair. Your draft grades are stupid. Please don't tell me today who did a good job, because that player might stink. And Ricky Pearsall, you could have got him 10 picks later. You don't know that. And he might be rookie of the year. We got no clue. So I am much more interested in the stylistic approach and breaking that down of what the 49ers are doing. And Dibs, I don't know about you, and we'd love to hear from all of you today. Please react to this. Bucky Brooks is joining us in 15 minutes. We'll break that down. But is this thumbs up? Is it thumbs down? And maybe more importantly, what does it mean to you? Because my brain, 888-957-9570, the second the pick happened, I didn't go to YouTube to watch Ricky Pearsall highlights. I did exactly what I tweeted. Uh-oh. That feels to me like it's setting up something else. And everything that has happened since then feels like it's setting up something else. The 49ers took Debo conversations into an offseason. You never heard them say, yeah, we're open to a trade. Nick Bosa into the offseason. They laughed off the idea of taking phone calls. Suddenly this week, highlighted by yesterday, you never close the door to a trade.
Right, right.
You can hear that the 49ers are at minimum burning up the phones right now as we speak.
Exactly, with the first pick in the second round coming up in an hour and 44 minutes. At least Buffalo will be on the clock at that point. And whether or not Buffalo has cap space or not, it's something we'll talk about as the show goes on. I'm just looking at David Lombardi's tweet, and he's mentioning that if they trade Debo today, it's a $40 million cap hit. It's $22 million this year, and the remaining $18 would hit next year. So there is a possibility that they just roll into this year with Debo, with
Absolutely.
Brandon, with Ricky, with Juwan, with, you know, Trent and Chris Conley and the rest of the receivers, and, you know, Ricky Bell and
Ronnie
Danny
Bobby,
Gray,
Ricky,
Ronnie Bell, not Ricky
Bell.
If I Bell.
Love the team, who cares who you like? Let's
exactly.
go.
So there is a chance, and maybe it's a better than 50-50 chance that they do that, but I would imagine that the phone lines are open, like ours are open.
Yeah, boy.
At 888-957-9570. I like the pick, Mark. And I like the player, and I like the pick.
No, he does look like a really...
I gave it a C+. Ask me about any draft ever, and it's always a C+.
Why kind is of my that? Bit. Yeah, no.
Because I'm with you as far as draft right. grades. And you and I did this, I think, on Tuesday, where we started to grade the draft from 2022.
Thank you.
We went pick by pick, and you can look now, 2 years removed, and say, okay, did you like the pick? Did you like the player?
Yeah, Mel Kiper, I want your draft grades. I just want them on April 26th, 2026.
Right. 426-26. That's cool.
I don't want him today. What the hell do you know? Oh, Ricky Pearsall. Well, his arms and his fingers and yeah. his, like, stop. What are you doing? That's not sports. He might be incredible.
Yeah.
He might stink out loud.
You just don't know.
Might be a good fit. He might be a bad fit. He might get hurt every year like Jalen Hurd. So, no clue how this is going to go. I'm much more interested in the concept of the 49ers having what is set up to be one of the most expensive wide receiver rooms in the NFL, and they waltzed up to the first-round podium and took a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Now, what does that mean to everybody? What does it mean to you?
At the very least, well, it means one of two things. Either they're trading Debo, because I think that the trading Brandon Ayuk is done. I don't think that they're going to settle for a second and a future fourth or a second and a third. I don't think that that is enough compensation. I do think they shopped him hard. They wanted to move up in the first round. They didn't get the bites that they wanted. The draft turned out to be a little bit funky with six QBs in the first 12 and no defensive player going in the first 14. So the draft went a little bit weird to where there was so much offense gone that the teams that were sitting there for a wide receiver, they had a chance to kind of wait, and teams who maybe would have gone elsewhere decided to make moves later in the draft. And so I don't think the Niners got the offer that they wanted for Ayuk. And so they get to 31 and they pick a receiver thinking about door number two, which is, you know what? We might as well take a receiver that we really like now and be ready for next year when maybe we want to move off of Debo. And the thing that strikes me, Mark, is we all want them to do this with the offensive line, yet we're all appalled when they do it for wide receiver. Because all fans have been saying is, you know, you need to take a corner just in case, you know, so when, you know, when Demo is gone and when Charvarius is gone, and you need to take an offensive lineman so when Trent is gone, or maybe, you know, you move off the right tackle. But when they do it at receiver, we all think it's a wasted pick.
Yeah. No,
seems a little bit hypocritical.
It's a good point, but I get why. It's because the perception right now is that the 49ers are dealing with a large area of strength at wide receiver, and everybody wants you. There's like this thing in the draft when you're a fan. You want them to address their needs in order, which is really we got a screw loose when we do that.
Right.
That's a very poor way to draft. We need a tackle. Let's take the best tackle available when it's our turn. Horrible way to draft. And every team will say it, and you know it. It's a terrible way to do your fantasy draft. I need a receiver. I'm going to take the best receiver available. Well, you're probably going to lose your fantasy draft. Because you have to see the whole weekend, the whole picture. If the 49ers had taken a wide receiver in round three, nobody would have even blinked. Nobody would have even blinked. And they think this guy is special. They grabbed him in the first round. The last time they did that with a receiver, his name was Brandon Ayuk. And the time before they took a receiver in the 30s, his name was Debo Samuel. You like that?
Yeah.
You like that.
You're going Kirk Cousins on me. Well, he doesn't like that.
R.I.P. Kirk. Good Lord, what a night for him. But anyway, it's interesting. We all want that to go in order. The Niners are abundantly aware that they need to address offensive line, and I have no doubt that later today and tomorrow they will do exactly that. And this whole thing will get addressed. Here's something else I thought of, and this goes out to the Kyle Shanahan is arrogant crowd, because, well, yeah, he is. I personally am not bothered by that. I think he's a phenomenal coach. But a lot of people get bugged by the arrogance of Kyle Shanahan, and sometimes by extension, the arrogance of the whole organization, by their behavior, right? Think about this now. Think about this. If we really break down the way the night went, I think we've spent the last few weeks doing the whole, would you rather have Brandon or Debo? One is this style. One is that style. One's healthier. One's not. One can run the ball. One's more traditional. We're doing the, and then which is more replaceable? If the Niners need to clear some money in the room, who's more replaceable? Did you see the way the Niners approached this draft? They didn't go in trying to replace Brandon Ayuk. They didn't go in trying to replace Deebo Samuel. They went in and said, we'll replace either. We don't really give a rip. We think we can replace either one of them with a snap of the fingers. We're going to spend 2 hours trying to trade Brandon. And if that doesn't work, then we'll spend the next 2 hours trying to trade Deebo. My mind was blown how yesterday turned into either, both, whatever.
Either, yeah.
We're just going to get work. Yeah, we can do this in a number of ways, which felt very confident. That felt very confident, and we all know who's running offense and wide receivers with the 49ers. It felt very confident to think, okay, this is a business. We need to clear money. And they looked at each other and went, which one should we move on from? And Kyle went, like, picked his teeth. Either.
Or neither.
Whatever.
I mean, either or
wow,
neither.
That's next level.
Yeah.
That's that is some chutzpah.
It is, and, you know, if you're Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, you're not feeling the heat on the seat at all. Your seat is actually ice cold, so you've got a lot of wiggle room. Not a little wiggle room, you've got all the room you need, and so you get down to the 31st pick, and you like the player, and I'm assuming that they really like the player, because you wouldn't have drafted him if you didn't like him, and so you look at a wide receiver, and maybe he was the best available player on their board, and you take him thinking, at the very worst, you've got a guy who you can draft and stash for next year, and maybe you use him on punt return, or maybe he ends up being in the Ronnie Bell, you know, role, or maybe he's Ray McCloud, you know?
Well, I mean, at minimum.
At minimum, he's Ray.
Although Trent Taylor is there, too. There are people who can do that.
Right.
They sometimes mix and match, right? Sometimes they're like, throw Deebo back there. We really need a return.
Yeah.
So they might mess around with a little bit. That's actually one of the things I like about it. If they keep Deebo, and that remains my number one hope. This was step one to my number one hope. My number one hope was deal with this next March. Deal with it next March. But at some point in this draft, draft the guy who you feel is going to be ready to really, really boogie in year two. And I do want to spend today seeing if you and I can find common ground on this. It's not that I don't think rookies can go play. They can go play. They can contribute. You mentioned there's a list of them who achieved 700 yards.
Yep.
And I'm like, right, they can do that. I look at Deebo and Brandon as much bigger than, hey, can you do 700 yards? They have this intricate leadership role with blocking downfield and emotional and, right, Deebo is out in front of the boombox and all of the things that these players do. So to replace that, when you are 21 or 22 and you've never played in the NFL before and be ready to do it by week one, I don't find it impossible. I find it wildly unlikely. So
he's not going to carry the boombox, but can he go out and have 50 catches and have 600 yards?
Yeah, but that's not enough. That's not Deebo. Deebo is much more than that. I know that's what maybe his catches were.
He's 60 for 892.
Right, and so that's much more than 600A, but he also missed a bunch of games. He also runs the ball a lot.
He missed two games.
Yeah, well, but he also barely played in three others. So he went out in the first quarter of a couple games. He was a decoy in another game. Deebo missed some time. My point is, it's very unlikely that that would be an A-to-A replacement. I'd rather have the guy here for a year and let him really boogie come year two. However, you make a good point in responding to that, which is, boy, that feels awkward for Deebo Samuel this year.
Right, because you're going to have the guy who is likely going to replace you. And Deebo knows what his dead cap number is, and he knows his contractual situation. And whether he gets traded between now and the end of the weekend, or if he comes back and he's cut next year, he understands that the writing is somewhat on the wall for his time as a 49er. So if you're Deebo, you might actually look forward to getting traded today or tomorrow to get that fresh start.
Grandy, what are you doing at 6 o'clock? What are you doing at 6 o'clock tonight?
We got another draft show. It'll be me and Sterling.
We're reacting
to rounds two and rounds three tonight.
Okay.
All right. Draft night.
Do you think he gets traded?
Deebo?
Yeah.
I think probably.
Okay. Quick tease for 6 o'clock.
Right. So that's what's coming up at 6 o'clock, but we're all over it leading up to it. The picks will start just after 4. Bucky Brooks is coming up next right here. And your phone calls, dive on in right here on Willard and Dibs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
With the 31st pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Ricky Pearsall, wide receiver, Florida.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Oh-wee. So immediately, the man who got the entire 49er fan base all buzzing just a couple months ago, because he said, yeah, you know those wide receivers for the 49ers, not great route runners. And it was all, what'd you say?
Bucky.
And then, so we're sitting in the other room before the show, and our producer, Lucas, I'll bring everyone behind the curtain. Our producer, Lucas, says, hey, isn't Bucky your friend? I said, yeah, Bucky, we did the show together at Fox. I love Bucky. He said, okay, I texted him for today. I said, Bucky's not going to text you back today.
Busy man.
It's the draft. That's Bucky Brooks. I'm pretty sure he's busy. And like 45 minutes later, Lucas is like, Bucky, 2:30.
Woo!
And I'm like, damn.
Lucas, have a day.
So I'm like, Bucky, did you get fired or something? Like, why are you here right now?
Oh, so I'm driving in the studio.
Yep.
When you guys had texted me, I was in the midst of my yoga class. So I came out, I get into the locker. I was like, oh, my guy from the Bay Area, they called. Because the last time I talked to the people in the Bay Area, everyone was mad at me.
You had your dukes up. Yep.
I said, well, let me come back and make sure that I clearly explain my point on the wide receivers, because somehow Brandon Ayuk caught all the strays from my comments as opposed to the entire core. So I think the draft kind of, I won't say validated, but it kind of like spoke to what I was talking about after looking at the Super Bowl.
Okay, so Bucky, do the 49ers have any route runners now?
Well, Ricky Pearsall is a route runner. Like, Ricky Pearsall, like, that's what he did. He did it at Arizona State when he played beside Brandon Ayuk. And let me clarify, because TJ Hushmanzada also said, I was like, look, your guy caught a stray because I was talking about the entire group, which includes Deebo Samuel. Brandon Ayuk can run routes. He's a good route runner. Ricky Pearsall is a good route runner. So now, when teams elect to play man-to-man, the quarterback has more options to get open. Some of the guys, the majority of the guys on the core, are catch-and-run specialists, meaning they need to catch the ball on the move. They're not necessarily using all the wiggle to create open. That's not what they do. But now they have more playmakers that can win against man coverage. And so when you're in the first round and your first pick is a wide receiver, when people say you have glaring needs at offensive tackle maybe to eventually replace Trent Williams and cornerback, maybe internally, Kyle Shanahan also recognized that, hey, I got to have some guys that can get open, because everyone – is going to copy the blueprint that the Kansas City Chiefs used in the Super Bowl. And if we don't get better, it's going to be problematic for us going forward.
And Kansas City shifting from zone to man and really took Brandon and Deebo and Christian, for that matter, out of the game. When you look at Ricky Pearsall, assuming that Deebo and Brandon are still on the team come September, can you see him being really successful in the slot, or is he better suited for the outside?
I mean, he can play in the slot. I think, like, what you're trying to do is you're trying to get guys that are interchangeable parts, right? So the one thing that the Niners have always done is they've had a bunch of chameleons, guys that can play multiple roles. Ricky Pearsall can play multiple roles in their wide receiver core. And what it does is it gives them more flexibility to move the pieces around. So, for instance, okay, if Brandon Ayuk and Ricky Pearsall are your best route runners, well, they don't necessarily need the benefit of motion. Deebo Samuel needs motion to create space. So maybe you put him in motion so he can get a running start to be able to avoid some of the contact at the line of scrimmage. But you have to have guys that can win from stationary positions to do that when you only have one. And let's say that's Brandon Ayuk. Well, now you're limited because you can't move everybody. And so I believe Kyle Shanahan wanted more flexibility to be able to create and exploit mismatches by being able to move the pieces of the chessboard around each and every week to be able to identify what's the favorable matchup, how can we attack the defense if they decide to play more man-to-man against us.
Bucky Brooks, NFL Network, NFL.com, Fox Sports Radio, phenomenal job, especially in moments like this. That's an interesting answer as you envision all three receivers together, because what if all three receivers aren't together? Do you believe that Deebo Samuel is about to get traded?
No, look, I think he's a big part of their team, and I think he brings about their toughness. And I actually believe that they can continue to do this as long as Brock Purdy is not getting paid. The issue comes when Brock Purdy gets paid, and I think Brock Purdy is still 2 years away from getting paid based on where he was drafted. So I think they still, I don't think they can extend him next year either.
No, they can next year. They can negotiate the extension next March.
So once they extend him, then one of those guys may have to exit stage right.
So when you look at this team that doesn't do a lot of three wide receivers, and Ricky Pearsall, if he joins a team with Deebo and Brandon, does he become just a reserve waiting for an injury? Or does Kyle Shanahan change his approach and go less to the 21 personnel that they use so much?
I kind of lost you. So the question, maybe because I'm near LAX, the question kind of cut out.
It's about the personnel, because Kyle loves to run the 21 personnel. Juszczyk plays about half the time. With three legit receivers now, does he change his approach?
Well, I'll tell you what, Dibs, I'd love to answer your question, but I don't work for NFL Network, and so I can't.
Gone.
Yeah,
okay.
He'll be back.
LAX.
Yeah. I've driven by that, and he's not wrong. He's not lying.
Whoop. It's weird.
Zap.
It's just because of the transmissions, good service,
but
yeah.
It gets zapped. It's like somebody fires a laser right through your car.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll be back.
A little bit of that at Treasure Island, too, as you go underneath the cell tower. It takes a minute for the one tower to hand you off to the next one.
Approach the Robin Williams Tunnel, same exact thing. Zap.
Gone.
And then you're back.
Curiously, there's a spot in Lafayette where that happens, and it really shouldn't. Like when you're heading up and over the hill from Moraga to Lafayette.
Why doesn't somebody fix this stuff?
Seriously.
My God.
I mean,
I love it. That's the old bit about right? We can fly through the air, we can talk lawns anywhere, and we hate it when there's one spot where we can't. Okay, Bucky's back. The question again, sir?
Bucky, with them running so much 21 personnel, does Ricky Pearsall just become a backup, or do they go to more three receiver sets now that they have three legit receivers?
I think you have the flexibility. I think, like, as a rookie, maybe he doesn't play as much, right? Like, he plays as a part-time player. Maybe he's a 50% player. But the expectation when you take someone there, he's eventually going to be a full-time starter. So the bigger question when you look at the construction of the team, you guys were talking about Brock Purdy can get paid at the end of this season. So, like, theoretically, they can continue to keep Brandon Ayuk as he is without extending him, right? He plays on the fifth-year option. Maybe they do or they don't extend the deal. But at some point, they're going to have to make a decision on, do we continue to pay Deebo or do we pay Brandon Ayuk? Because one person is going to be the odd man out. And so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, because once you pay Brock Purdy, whatever it is you're going to pay him, $50 million, $60 million per, you're not going to be able to have all of that money tied up in wideout. Maybe the Philadelphia Eagles have done it, but someone's going to have to be the sacrificial lamb to be able to pay the quarterback what he's going to be worth.
Bucky Brooks, NFL Network, is with us. Bucky, you played, and so this is a locker room question a little bit, because some have suggested, because in theory, Ayuk is going to get an extension before the season starts. He's probably not going to show up for his fifth-year option. So let's assume the 49ers do that, and now he's highly paid going into the season. You've got Pearsall. That sort of makes it feel like Debo is in a lame duck spot. How would he deal with that? Is that awkward for a player to play well for a team if he sort of knows he's on the way out?
No, because, like, here's the thing. You don't know if he plays well enough. Maybe they decide to take away another part. Maybe somebody else becomes that person that is the salary cap casualty or whatever. It doesn't necessarily guarantee that Debo is out. It just means that they have to figure out a way to move the money around. And trust me, when we talk about the salary cap, man, the salary cap is just kind of a myth. You can do whatever you want to do as a team. It's just a matter of who do they want to do it to and how creative do they want to get with the pen. So it doesn't necessarily guarantee that Debo is out. It just means that they got to do some funny arithmetic to be able to keep all those guys in the house.
And part of that, I think, is George Kittle, who's already reworked his deal, and Christian McCaffrey, who probably is going to stand to get some sort of a raise coming up. How do you think the McCaffrey piece fits where he's the highest paid running back, yet he'll be making less than Debo and Brandon if they get their extensions?
Market value. I mean, like, he can be mad about his impact on the team and all that, but that's just what the market is. The market says that wide receivers right now are viewed as more valuable commodities than running backs. And even though Christian McCaffrey does a lot, I mean, that's just kind of what it is. And we also got to think about this. Christian McCaffrey is getting up there. He's already had the second contract. So now running backs typically don't get that blockbuster third contract. And so if he does get it, we're talking about on a short term if they decide to pay him like that. So, look, a lot of things are fluid when it comes to the Niners, but I do believe they can keep it together if they want to. They just have to be very, very creative on how they go about doing it.
Bucky, I know that the whole fan base got mad at you when you sort of said the Niners weren't great route runners. And so, as you said, that became a whole thing about Brandon Ayuk. But I also really value your opinion. You used to cover guys like this in the league. So you tell us, when you look at the landscape of wide receivers in the NFL, where does Brandon Ayuk fall for you?
I think you make the case that he's the top 10 wide receiver. Like, look, his numbers are his numbers now. Like, his numbers are ridiculous. Like, he gets open, he had over the 1,300 yards. You think about the big plays, which are 20-plus yard catches, he's at the top of the – I mean, he's, like, top of the food chain. So I understand that part of it. I think the bigger thing would be, where do you put Debo Samuel in that conversation? Because I think the bigger conversation would be, like, who should be the real number one in San Francisco? Is it Debo or is it Brandon Ayuk? I think some of that, and not saying that this is an issue, but I think when Brandon Ayuk talks about wanting to get paid, he wants to get paid commensurate with what he has done. So the issue that it could create is, hey, man, I'm the one that should really be the number one. I need to get fed the ball, and I need to be paid handsomely. That's where that conversation comes down to.
Well, so how would you answer it? Who's the one?
Well, the one, by definition, a wide receiver one is the one that can command a double team and can defeat all covers. I would say that Brandon Ayuk is more likely to be that than Debo Samuel. Debo Samuel is an outstanding playmaker, and when healthy, he can do phenomenal things. But you also have to start to evaluate durability and dependability and reliability. Like, how often is he available over a 17-game season? Can we count on him to be there all of those games? The one thing that we have seen is Brandon Ayuk has been available to be in the lineup. Debo, we can't say the same. So when you're making those decisions about who do we extend, who do we pay, that also factors into the equation when you think about the Niners going forward.
And also it factors into the who do you trade side of it. And with the second round starting in an hour and 14 minutes, if you were Debo, how nervous would you be about possibly being dealt today for a second round pick?
I don't know, man, because, like, here's the thing, right? Everyone talks about how loaded this draft is with wide receivers. And so when you trade Debo, you not only have to trade him, but I would think that Debo and his representatives, like, when you trade from him, you also go sweeten the pot. We saw Stephon Diggs get the pot sweetened a little bit when he went to Houston. So there's other things that come along with trading for Debo that we have to think about. And I don't know, like, in our league, if teams are looking at, hey, man, I'm excited to pay these $30 million wide receivers when I got these young guys that are coming in and making their mark right away. It'll be interesting if they do decide to trade him. And if they do trade him, where is the logical location for him to go? I think it's easy to speculate. I think it's harder to execute that Deebo Samuel is not going to be on the Niners roster.
Bucky Brooks with us, NFL.com, NFL Network. Bucky, what are some of, in your eyes, the major needs for the 49ers, and how can they achieve those in the next 24 to 48 hours?
Well, I mean, it's like what many of us thought was going to happen on draft night for night one. We thought they would attack the offensive line, and we thought that they would address the secondary. Those things are still there. The issue that you have now, like the high-end offensive tackles are gone. So that may mean, hey, let's just fish in the secondary pond and see if we can get an upgrade at cornerback, someone that can come in and do some of the things that we want to do. Luckily, I would say the needs and the value matches up in the secondary more so than at offensive tackle, because whatever offensive tackle that you get now, they're not what those guys were that went off the board last night. So I think they probably addressed the secondary, and they hope to find maybe a developmental guy that can grow into a role as a starting offensive lineman. But I don't think you'll find a plug-and-play offensive lineman outside right now.
Bucky, really excited to have you today. Hey, before you go, what did you make of what the Falcons did last night?
Oh, Michael Penix. Yeah, Michael Penix going off the board. Here's what I would say, because every fan base, like the Niners, get upset, right? So everybody gets upset when you don't get somebody for the quarterback until the quarterback gets hurt, and then you're mad at the backup quarterback. So what the Falcons were trying to do is they were trying to think about here and now by getting Cousins as a free agent while also thinking about the future. Because in theory, if Kirk Cousins is as good as people pay him to be, they should be picking at the bottom of the draft. And so it's going to be harder to get quarterback, a good quarterback there. And also, and looking ahead to 2025, the quarterback draft is terrible. So they were trying to get ahead of it. They were trying to be proactive. And I think everyone has to understand the job of the general manager is not just to think about this year, is to think about 2025, 2026, and beyond. I thought it was a good move to get a really good quarterback when you don't need a quarterback, because it takes the pressure off of reaching for someone who certainly isn't good enough to be taken at the top of the chart.
No, it's an interesting take. It's just the idea is kind of an old idea, the idea right. of the number 8 pick in the draft being somebody who you just stash.
Yeah, so, like, here's the thing, right? And everyone kind of forgets. Remember, Carson Palmer was the number 1 overall pick.
Yep.
You know, his rookie season, he never saw the field because they played John Kitna. In yesteryear, that was commonplace.
Right.
I mean, like, thinking about the Niners, think about it, you had a Hall of Famer in Steve Young sitting behind Joe Montana. I mean, that's kind of like the way that it's supposed to be. You're supposed to develop the quarterback, because too often we're drafting these quarterbacks, we put them on the field, and then we're mad when they're not ready to play. It's a developmental game and a developmental position. You got to give guys an opportunity to really develop without the pressure of having to play right now. I would say Brock Purdy is an anomaly, but Brock Purdy also set the stage for Michael Penix to get drafted. Brock Purdy's ability to step into the league as an experienced college player
right.
with a bunch of starts, he has kind of set a blueprint that all these GMs are looking. They're looking for the experienced starter. Michael Penix had over 50 starts. Bo Nix had 61 starts. Jaden Daniels had 55 starts. Brock Purdy is the cause of this. Brock Purdy being able to have success in the league as an experienced quarterback led the Falcons to be like, hey, I'm going to get a guy, but I'm going to get a guy that's experienced. And, yeah, he might be a little older, but when he gets in his opportunity to play, he'll be able to play well. And, look, Kirk Cousins coming off the Achilles. I think people think you just come off the Achilles and everything is good. It's not a guarantee that he's going to be the same Kirk Cousins that we once saw in Minnesota.
It's a great point. Yes. Great breakdown.
Yeah,
an old-school draft choice.
Great
I love
stuff.
It.
Brock Purdy is the cause of this. Something tells me there might be a digital post about that coming up here shortly on our pages.
Bucky, you're currying favor with the fan base now. You're a favorite again. You're back, Bucky.
You know what? I'm back. Hey, Mark Willis.
Yeah.
We got to talk to Draymond and Steph and kind of figure out what's going on with them Warriors. You know what I mean?
Timeout.
I know it's baseball season in the Bay Area, but at some point we got to talk about these Warriors. You know what I mean?
Remember that movie, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days?
Yeah, exactly.
You just did How to Lose a Fan Base in 10 Seconds. You had everybody, and then you took a shot. You took a shot.
Bucky.
I mean, you tell us. What do you want to say about Steph, Dre, and Clay? What do you want to say, Bucky?
Well, I love Steph. I just feel bad. I know his back has got to be hurting, carrying everybody.
Ooh.
He's carrying the whole squad right now.
All right, Bucky. Yeah, I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at that, but we should quit while you're a little bit ahead.
Well, I can't say anything. You know I don't like the Lakers, but the Lakers are struggling down in SoCal. So everybody's about to go fishing.
Everybody's going fishing. Bucky, not you. I bet you got work to do tonight. Thanks for fitting us in, man.
Hey, man, it was fun. Talk to you guys.
Absolutely. Bucky Brooks, NFL.com, NFL Network.
Yep.
I love that man.
He's great.
That's great. That's great. Brock Purdy's the cause of this.
Well, it's an interesting point
he makes.
That's a
really fascinating point.
Because if you're going to take Michael Penix and you're going to take Bo Nix, and these are guys who've played that much, and both of those guys rose up the draft board, allegedly, based on what mock drafts thought about where they would land, and it's, you know, Atlanta finds a guy who's got a ton of experience, and Larry Kruger, our very own, said he thought he was the best quarterback in the draft, and
he did.
Looks like Atlanta concurred, but the idea of a draft and stash as a top 10 pick, it seems unheard of with what we do to these quarterbacks. And you think back to the Trey Lance draft, where four of those five now have been dealt by their teams. And all five of them, really, except for Trey Lance, were thrown into the mix right away.
Yep.
Justin Fields, get in there, kid. He failed. Mac Jones, get in there. Went to the playoffs, but he struggled. Zach Wilson, my God, he was terrible.
Well, and maybe not just Brock Purdy, but also the Green Bay Packers are the cause of this,
yep.
Which a little bit of a different situation. And obviously you're afforded that when you've got a Hall of Famer who's potentially on the way out, the same way they did Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, then Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love. But the league watches what Jordan Love did last year. And yeah, maybe we will start to move toward that a little bit, which is grab your quarterback, but just like chill for a second. Like, chill. And we're not going to do that across the board because, you know, look at the top three teams. I'd bet a lot of money that Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May are going to start football games this September. Like, they're
right.
going to.
Maybe not week one, but they're going to start sooner rather than later.
Yeah, but then go after that, and Penix, he probably waits a little bit. J.J. McCarthy to Minnesota.
That's an interesting one.
I'd bet on Sam Darnold week one. I absolutely would. And Bo Nix in Denver could go a thousand different directions.
Right.
Nix, Zach Wilson, or other. I mean, that it's all fascinating. But six QBs in the first 12 picks?
Yeah.
Even the QB lovers didn't think it was going to go that fast.
No, the spread had gotten to six in the first round, seemed to be what many people had expected, but not six in the top 12.
Not even
And no
close.
Defensive player till 15?
Yeah.
That was crazy.
League is in
love Double
with
the
offense.
Record, Mark Grandy said last night as I was listening.
Amazing. Just amazing. Yeah, you can see where the priorities are. We're presented by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. All right, to your calls, your reaction to Pearsall. Also, do you think Debo is about to be traded, and are you thumbs up or thumbs down? 888-957-9570. And then in 20 minutes, we're joined by Jacob Rudner, Florida Gators beat writer for CBS, who also was covering Arizona State when Ricky Pearsall was there. So he has basically seen every play of Pearsall's career. We'll get to know him a little bit better. That's in 20 minutes on Willard and Dibbs.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.